B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Rebound, McGee got a hand on it, but got himself tangled in the net. And Jaylen Brown comes out with the basketball, leading to the left corner. Open, Tatum, three, got it.
Ooh, man. These dudes right now, they're locked and loaded, Sean. Locked and doggone loaded.
A 36-21 run for the Celtics, spanning halftime.
Jason Tatum highlight for you yesterday in L.A. Celtics lose, but everyone's talking about Jason Tatum. Is that the story of the game there, Mass?
Yeah. And I told you going in, when they beat the Lakers here in Boston and blew doors, I thought, mark down the game in L.A. Let's see what it looks like out there because the Lakers will have presumably a little edge to their game. And the Celtics hung in there the whole day and really could have won the game very easily. They catch a break or two at the end. They win it, and honestly, it doesn't bother me at all. They lost it at the end. Now, I still don't believe they're getting out of the East.
I asked you about Jason Tatum.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting there.
Has to crap on
the He still has to crap, right. He has to get the crap out first.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'm sorry I didn't answer your question right away. And I would tell you that I said from the very beginning that I would change my mind on the Celtics if Tatum made some sort of significant jump. And he's making it. Now, I'd like to see him continue to do it. But right now, he's playing like one of the best players in the league. And the way he was attacking the rim yesterday is really what one of the big differences is. The confidence he has when he has the ball in his hands, off the charts. So look, he's turning into an elite player. I mean, you got LeBron blowing kisses to him on Instagram now.
And that's the most important thing. So we can all think this, and I think we're right. Tatum is the story of yesterday's game and how he's, you know, transformed, I think, into a top 10 player over the last few months. But what matters is that guys like LeBron James and his peers think this. Like, I mean, the salutations he's getting on Instagram from LeBron James, he basically got his pants off after that game. It's like, oh, wow, all right. Guys like him now look at Tatum like that? No, he's arrived.
That was a big boy performance. I mean, that's big boy scoring.
And I think you nailed it. It's the mid-range game that I would be most encouraged by. And the efficiency, I think he took only 20 shots yesterday.
Something like that.
So it's not like it was just volume scoring either. I mean, it was, and I say only 20 shots, but it's not like he, you know, I think it was 12 for 20 from the floor. But it's attacking the rim. It's little stops and pops. It's mid-range stuff. It's not these wild fallaways from 26 feet and whatnot. And that's not all three-pointers. And that to me is the most encouraging thing because that's repeatable. Like that's, you know, that's just not having a hot night shooting. That's like getting to a certain spot on the floor and you should be able to score from them from there consistently. And he does. So that should be the story, except I get a little aggravated by the fallout. And I gave you this headline. Last night I went on NBCSportsBoston.com, owned by the Celtics, so I shouldn't be surprised by this. But I read a headline of a story after last night's game, and the headline reads this: not trading for Anthony Davis was a blessing for the Celtics. Not trading for Anthony Davis was a blessing. Anthony Davis had, what, 32 and what yesterday?
13 rebounds.
And they won, right?
Two blocks.
So, but I just get the, and the story didn't necessarily reflect it, but now I just sort of get this sense like, oh, yeah, the Lakers are idiots for head keeping Anthony Davis. Danny Ainge, the master manipulator again. You know, he made just the right move. Davis sucks. You know, like, I just feel like there's that tone coming.
That's just constant revisionist history is what it is.
When the fact is Danny Ainge absolutely would have traded Jason Tatum and whatever else he had in his cupboard if Anthony Davis had given him any indication he would have stayed. Except for doing just the opposite. Where Anthony Davis's agent and father and him at every turn said, no, I don't want to come to Boston. If you trade for me, I'm not staying. And so Danny Ainge didn't make the move. But if Anthony Davis had so much as puckered his lips or looked in your direction once, Jason Tatum was gone. Gone like you read about. But you know, now it's like, oh, Danny Ainge nailed it. Now he would have traded Jason Tatum faster than you could say Jason Tatum if Anthony Davis had given him any indication he might stay. So please, let's not, again, revisionist history. I find a little frustrating. And you'd be so bad off right now if you had Anthony Davis? Would that be so bad?
No.
So let me just ask you in a vacuum, who'd you rather have over the next 5 to 10 years, Jason Tatum or Anthony Davis?
If he had asked me this before the season, I'd have taken Davis. He asked me it today, I'm taking Tatum.
Why?
He's 5 years younger, and he's really starting to blossom. I mean, the offensive game right now is just ridiculous. In the, you know, going back to the 41-point game he had, I think that was New Orleans, right? Starting there, he's averaging 28 a game over his last 21. He's eighth in the league in scoring during that span. He hasn't turned 22 yet. Like, I look at all of that and say he's, like, getting better by leaps before our very eyes. So now I lean Tatum. I mean, you know, those wing players that can shoot consistently out at three, and he got to the line, as you said, attacked the rim 15 times yesterday. How do you defend that guy?
Yeah, for me, it's Tatum, and for three reasons. The age thing that Maz mentioned, the upside, because Tatum, you know, what you're seeing here, I think he's arrived. And the injury history on Davis, a big man with lower body injuries and a history of it, quads, ankles, feet. It always feels like it's something like that's a concern.
I just, let's be careful. You know, now Anthony Davis blows.
No.
And I know you're not saying that, but I can feel that sort of, idiot Lakers. You got Anthony Davis. We got Tatum. Like, I feel that coming. Ainge would have traded Tatum in a nanosecond if Davis wanted to be here. Nanosecond. Here's a question, though. What's more important in the NBA today? A wing player like Tatum or a big guy like Davis?
Oh, Davis.
Probably the wing player.
The wing players. It's become a league of wings.
Davis plays like a wing.
I mean, he can do it all. That's for sure. But the guys that are winning championships are wing players. The wing players, it's become a league of dominant wings. It's LeBron, it's Durant, it's Kawhi Leonard, that's the league. Those are the guys that win championships, not the big guys. As soon as Davis and Embiid and these guys start winning, you know, I'll say so, or even Giannis, who's kind of a tweener. But it's the athletic dominant wings that win championships.
Yeah.
So that's why I would go Tatum, because that's the direction of the league.
I mean, Tatum yesterday looked unstoppable. I like Davis a lot. I mean, you know, he's one of the few big men in the league that can really impact the game at both ends. But if Tatum had another year this year like he had last year, I would say Davis. Like, and I wouldn't have any hesitation in saying that. But this guy's playing better defense now. He's starting to do other things and getting to the rim. He was unstoppable yesterday.
But again, just before you get too carried away, Danny Ainge would have traded him yesterday, if Davis had given you any slight indication that he would be here, that he'd want to stay here. And oh, by the way, the whole thing could have changed, because then maybe Kyrie Irving stays, and Danny wanted him to stay too. So just remember that. Ainge's plan was Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis. His plan was not Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, that was not the plan. The plan was Anthony Davis and Kyrie Irving. That was the plan. So maybe he got lucky. Maybe you're all getting lucky. But now back to Ainge. It's just too bad there's not a spot on this roster to help that bench. You just can't. I listen to Chris Forsberg. I listen to the guys that cover the team. I don't know if there's an opening on the roster.
I mean, I told you, the Marvin Williams thing I'd sort of put in a separate category because I think they wanted him. Okay, but that aside, you got to do something at the deadline.
Their bench yesterday, 3 for 11. And again, I keep asking, what's a more pathetic number, the 3 or the 11? Their entire bench only had 11 attempts?
Right.
That's ridiculous. Their bench accounted for 3 field goals. You lost that game yesterday because you lost to Rajon Rondo, Dwight Howard, and Caldwell Pope. Like, that was the key to the game.
I think their bench got outscored by 32 points.
I was going to look at the plus minuses here. I think Wanamaker was minus 17 or something. I'll look it up. Keep going.
Kuzma was a plus 17. He was highest. Your starters outscored the Lakers starters.
Exactly. This is my point. On the bench.
No, they lost on the bench by 32. I think it was 43 to 11 in bench scoring.
But no.
43 to 11.
But no, you can't do anything at the deadline in the buyout market because there's no room on the roster.
And the precious picks. We got to hang on to those 3 first rounders.
You've got to be kidding me. Wanamaker was minus 11. Sorry.
So this is why. I don't know what Isaiah is at this stage, but this is why I say I would take Isaiah back. Absolutely, I would take Isaiah back. I mean, you need somebody that can get you some sort of offense there with any kind of regularity.
If you just said this, I'm sorry, Maz, because I was looking up. Kuzma was plus 17.
Yep.
So that's where I had the 17. Kuzma was plus 17. Rondo was plus 15. Caldwell Pope was only plus 2. But that's how you lost the game. Kuzma, Howard, Rondo, Caldwell Pope, and your bench. Oh, putrid. But nope, Let's not bring in anyone on the buyout market. How's Maine looking? They're in first place by like 8 games. They can't lose because it's nothing but first round picks up there. The hoarder Danny can't.
You realize that if Kemba Walker plays, then Marcus Smart probably doesn't play 35 minutes, and that's 18 minutes for Marcus Smart, not Brad Wanamaker, right?
I'm conveniently leaving that out.
Thank you.
You still should have won yesterday.
I'm not, because everyone should be mad at Kemba Walker. Again, 30 minutes in that worthless All-Star game. You can't play in that. You can't play in a game like yesterday's. I figured when they held him out against Minnesota Friday, because you said it when we were here, it just means they're holding him off for Sunday. He'll play in L.A. And when I heard that he wasn't, it's like that effing All-Star game. It gets dumber by the day that he competed as hard as he did in that thing a few weeks ago. Over 30 minutes in an All-Star game? That's embarrassing.
You still need another guy other than Kemba.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so if Kemba comes back and Smart's coming off the bench
still
six,
stinks.
You can't improve Brad Wanamaker?
Right, exactly.
But it's like, no, that chemistry. Nope, we have the chemistry this year, so we can't, you know, he's going to go with Wanamaker. Oh, it's just so silly. It's so silly. No roster space. How many times I had to hear that during the deadline. You know, here's another guy that was disappointing, Gordon Hayward. So you get into the fourth quarter, and Brown for that matter. He had a big three, and he scored 20 points. I'm like, I don't want to kill him. Hayward with his 10 points, 5 for 15 from the floor. You know, L.A. got smart. They started blitzing Tatum, double-teaming Tatum, getting the ball out of his hands. And the Celtics in the fourth quarter either turned it over or Hayward and the Brown and the rest of them couldn't make him pay. And so there's another one. Hayward missed a really
almost had a triple-double.
Little bunny.
That bunny at the end.
Little bunny. They're up 2 points with under a minute. And he drives to the rim. It was the right call. He had someone on his back. And he gets to the rim and misses just this little push, this little bunny of a shot that would have given him a four-point lead under a minute. And he missed it. But 5 for 15, 10 points, no three-pointers. When they're blitzing Jason Tatum and they're leaving Gordon Hayward open and he can't make you pay.
He missed a big one before that, too. It was on the perimeter, and I think it was a three, if I remember right. He was wide open. You got to make those.
Jimmy says he almost had a triple-double, so you're saying like he played well?
No.
Okay.
That was what I saw on Celtics Twitter timeline. triple-double watch for Gordon Hayward. Yeah, hey, he misses easy layups again.
Here's the bottom line. Yesterday should have showed you Maz. That they're right there with these teams. They're right there with these teams. That doesn't mean they're favored over these teams. Doesn't mean that, you know, you should expect them to go all the way through these teams. But they're right there.
And why are they?
They're right there. Because they're good.
Because of Tatum.
Fine. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm just telling you. I said at the beginning of the year, if Tatum takes a jump, then I'll change my mind.
So are you changing your mind?
Not quite yet, but I'm getting there. It's 20 games. He's got to do it for more than 20 games, but okay. I'm getting there.
Okay. You just keep me posted,
when
Tonto.
When Tatum leads this team to the NBA Finals, we'll be having a conversation of if Jason Tatum is a top five player in the league.
I mean, he's tracking that way. There's no doubt about it. Can he get there in year three? Like, that's early. But the point is, they're right there. They're right there as a team. A call goes their way yesterday. Hayward makes a little bunny. They win that game.
I mean, in the standings, that game's a loss, okay? But that yesterday was a win for the Celtics of 2019-20.
Yeah, they showed you what they are.
No question.
They're right there. They're right there with the Lakers. I would still put them behind the Clippers, but if the Clippers don't get their act together soon, I may have to put them behind them. The one thing I would say is they're 2.5 games behind Toronto for the 2 seed. Okay, now you're looking at 20-something games left, right? It's like, ooh, so now you have to go on the road to Toronto and then on the road to Milwaukee. Like, I think they're right there, but now you're talking about 2 straight road wins. That doesn't typically happen in that league. They got to catch Toronto for me to think that they're really going to get out of the East. But just pure talent-wise, they're right there. They're right there with these teams. And yesterday proved it. Can you try and improve them on the margins just a little bit? Improve that bench just a little bit? It's not that hard. It's not going to cost you that much money.
I mean, I felt that way at the deadline. He needed to do something there, and he didn't help the roster.
So there's your Celtics Minute on a re-entry Monday. Felger and Mass, presented by DraftKings, continues with your calls right after this.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Filger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hand off Tatum against Kuzma. Shot clock at 12. Right-hand dribble, Tatum. Chased by Dwight Howard. Pushed past Jaylen Brown, right side. Decent look at a three. Got it.
Somebody has to be that other guy. Stepping up, Brown is the one this time knocks it down.
17 for Jaylen Brown on the big stage. 102-101. L.A. by one. 5:14 to go.
So that was a big corner three. He made him pay, but not enough of it. Not enough of it. They blitzed Tatum, and no one else could make him pay. Celtics thoughts here on a reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. Bruins at the deadline. Brady watch. The Wilder fight on Saturday night. Wilder Fury fight on Saturday night. That's on the table, too. Let's bring it back with David in Needham. Go ahead, David.
Hi there. So I agree the Celtics have a big bench problem. And a big reason of that is because Danny Ainge, over the last 11 years, has been able to add zero value to his 28 draft picks that were after number six. The only two guys that have outplayed their draft position out of those 28 were Avery Bradley at 19 in 2010, and believe it or not, Etuan Moore, who is a number 55 pick in 2011. He can't even add value with undrafted free agents. There's guys out there on Toronto, Terrence Davis, and we saw a guy in Minnesota last week that was a good player that was undrafted.
David, my second guess is not that you're missing at the bottom of the draft, because everyone misses at the bottom of the draft. It's the whole point. Like, there's only a handful of players every year, okay? So, like, I blame him for hoarding those guys once they're here. Like, hoarding those guys at the end of your bench.
Right, blame him for thinking those picks are actually worth
your
something.
Your 15-man roster and Maine is bursting at the seams with these guys when there's veteran help out there in the buyout market or at the trade deadline, and he didn't want to move any roster pieces. That's what he misses at the end of the draft. Everyone misses at the end of the draft. But are you going to hoard those guys, or are you going to try and upgrade with veterans? And when every team that's in the mix, Mass, for a championship has made a move.
Yes.
Several,
again,
except for you.
I thought, to me, it was an obvious need at the deadline. They had to add bench help. I've not defended that part of it, and I won't. I mean, I don't understand how you don't go out and get some level of help there, even if it's in the buyout market. But if you're going to risk going to the buyout market, then you got to land the players. You can't just miss on them and do nothing.
Jimmy and Brockton on the Bruins. Jimmy? Bruins playoff chances is his comment line. What are the Bruins playoff chances?
Oh, they have a shot. I mean, they can make a deep run. They can win the whole thing. Absolutely, they have a shot. So, would you know, if you're asking me, do I think they're the favorite? No.
They're going to be underdogs in the second and third round. Probably, depending what
happens.
Unless they catch a break. But if it's Tampa in the second round, they'll be the underdog. I think. I don't know. I mean, if the Bruins finish with a better record, maybe Vegas makes them a favorite, but they won't be in terms of talent for talent, they won't be, I don't think. And then if they go up against Washington, who they historically have a horrible time with in the conference finals. So, like, from that perspective, they'll be underdogs in the second and third round. Much different than last year when it was Columbus, Carolina.
I mean, unless they catch a break again. But a year later, with those teams having gotten bounced the first time, you think they're going to get bounced again?
No.
And I'll just say, I just can't wait to see what new way they can find to disappoint me this time around.
You're just waiting for the porking, Murray, aren't you?
That's the Bruins experience.
I don't know. I feel good about them this year. I do. I mean, though, that's tough competition. They might get beat. But I think they've been in a good place all year. I'll say it again. I said this earlier. They had a similar track the last time they lost the Cup to Chicago in 2013. They came back the next year and won the President's Trophy. But I never believed in that team like I believe in this one. I feel much better about this team than I did about that one in 2013-14. I think this team plays a much better brand of hockey. I don't know, much more the way the league plays is the way they play it. I feel like they're deeper. I don't know what it is. I've sort of bought into this team, and I remember that President's Trophy winning team after they lost a cup to the Blackhawks. I never really did. And so, I don't know. I just feel like they've been a focused team all season long. And I feel like, you know, what you wanted to have happen happened, which was that loss to the Blues has been a motivator for them, not something that causes them to shut it down. And You know, so I think they have that mindset. Now do they have the talent? That's the question. Mike in Danvers on the Celts. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how are you, Felga? Good show. Listen, the Hayward play, by the way, the mistake wasn't missing the shot. The mistake was that he should have pulled the ball out. There was 58 seconds left. You use some clock, and you get a good shot.
Well, so normally I would agree. I'm just going to cut you off. He was
right at the hoop.
Right on top of the restricted area. It was a three-foot shot. It was right there.
No, you got to make it.
No, you got to make it. I mean, he's right that if you burn clock there, but if you get a layup, you got to take the layup.
I mean, one of the takeaways I had from that game yesterday is I think they're going to be fine if Hayward leaves. Unfortunately, I don't think he's leaving.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, so the other thing, they lost by 2 points without their best player. So I don't think we can get too worried about it. They're in good shape. Yes, he should have made a move, but Williams is going to come back. Not that he's a superstar, but he can protect the rim, rebounds.
Do you know how much they're putting on this freaking Time Lord? I mean, honestly, like, it's all on freaking Time Lord. One of the most unreliable guys that they've had in years. The guy was blowing stuff off before he even got drafted. And wasn't he late to his draft meeting or draft interview or something like this?
Forgot his wallet.
Yeah.
Or something. Like, the guy's been, out to lunch the second they drafted him. And this is the guy. This is what it all hinges on. I mean, seriously, Scal said it the day of the trade deadline on the trade deadline shows. Like, how do you feel about this team? Well, if Robert Williams comes back, then they'll be fine. So it's all hinged on this unreliable kid.
With a hip of like an 80-year-old man.
Well, see, so that's, I'm accepting at this point that they are what they are in terms of in the middle.
And, oh, by the way, there's 20-something games left. Like, what do you expect this kid to be?
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath on this. Like, in terms of, you know, getting anything in the middle, whether it's Williams or Tice or whoever, I think they've done better there than I thought they would with Tice. I'm not holding my breath. They're going to have to win the games that they play from the perimeter because that's how they're built.
Here's another one. This Enes Kanter has been a flop because when Tice gets in foul trouble, it's Grant Williams. Where's Enes Kanter?
He was useless yesterday. He played, 5 minutes?
So when the game is really up-tempo, he can't keep up because he's too much of a lumbering oaf?
Basically.
So it's like, I mean, he made some money. Does he make more than Tice? He might even.
$5 million. So they make about the same.
Yeah, about the same, yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. So you have to bring in this Williams kid. You have to bring in Grant Williams because Enes Kanter can't keep up. He can't play in a game like yesterday.
I mean, they are what they are in terms of that. They're going to have problems with big guys because they don't have size. And I disagree with the caller. Kemba Walker's not their best player. Tatum is. Tatum is now your best player, and that may never change for a while.
Michael in Dorchester on Wilder Fury. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, afternoon. I'm not sure if you guys have seen Creed, but in the movie he fights some guy at Everton Stadium. I can't remember. Gunderson Park or something like that. Fury is a United fan, and Old Trafford would be a really sick venue for a fight. I know he would probably fight there because the stadium capacity is about 75,000, and Wembley's 90. So, I mean, they could totally sell that out for a fight like that, between Joshua or someone.
Those two? If they wanted to put 200,000 people in a place, they would sell it. Joshua alone packs 90,000-seat stadiums over there.
Correct.
And now England's – I'm guessing – because, again – Joshua's the pure Brit and Fury's not. Like, I don't truly get the total difference, but they treat him sort of different. But I think Fury might be catching up.
Fury's parents are Irish.
Okay, so that's what it is.
He was born in England, but his parents are Irish. So his heritage is Irish.
So, but either way, that fight is, if they want to put 200,000 screaming British hooligans on a racetrack, I mean, I don't know if they have them, in freaking Scotland, they could do it. They could put that anywhere and they'd get couple hundred thousand people to show up.
Oh gosh, you should do it in Trafalgar Square like it's freaking New Year's Eve. Seriously, put the ring out there and let's go. Let's have it outdoors. Hyde Park, the courtyard at Buckingham Palace, do whatever you want. I'm in. I would watch that. I think that would be a good fight because they have, you know, they're both good boxers. You were telling me, I didn't even know until the other day, that Fury apparently has a questionable chin.
Well,
right?
That was his reputation the first time he fought Wilder.
Okay, so I didn't know that. Joshua has a glass jaw.
No doubt.
He has a glass jaw. So I think he and Fury would be a good fight because they could both. It might be a little boring, but.
Well, I see. This is why I think Fury's new approach is so important. Fury wants to now put people to sleep, like he said, and he did. I didn't believe him. He said that before the Wilder fight, but I believe him now. So he's not going to go in there trying to point Joshua. He's going to try and knock him out. which is what we're looking for.
The way boxing should manage this is encourage Wilder to not use that option for the third fight with Fury.
Right. Fight a couple bums, build yourself back up, then take on the Fury-Joshua winner.
Exactly. Let those two guys fight. They'll make a mint overseas. A mint. There'll be people pouring in from all over the world for that, all over Europe for that one, for crying out loud. Let them fight over there, and then the winner gets Wilder somewhere down the line.
I'm just worried that Fury may have left a mark on poor Deontay. I don't know if he'll ever be the same.
He got exposed in that fight. He did. He got absolutely exposed. He got his ass kicked.
Here's Murray's update on a reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's Felger and Mass on a reentry Monday. Everything from the weekend, the heavyweight fight on Saturday, the Bruins today at the deadline. Disappointed they didn't come away with more? I'd say you're disappointed they didn't come away with more, Maz, right?
I am, absolutely. I wanted something that was more clearly a second-line right wing. That's all. Now, look, Cache may be that. So, I suppose if he plays to his ceiling, potentially he is. I just feel like they pieced it. Instead of getting a right winger who had some size and could play in the second line, they got one guy with size and one guy with a little bit of speed and skill. So you put it all together. Now, I know it's hard. You know, any player that has all of that stuff is an all-star or an all-star caliber player. So I get that. I just wanted something a little more certain. That's all.
I'm frustrated that Vinny Trocheck went for something less than a first-round pick. If Trocheck went for a first, I'd say, okay, the Bruins didn't have one. I understand why they traded it for Cache and that back is steel. Like, I get it. Okay, fine. You're not going to trade two first-round picks at the same deadline. Got it. So I would have let him off the hook for that. Vinny Trocheck went for a package that did not include a first-round pick. Went for four pieces that you easily could have matched. So that's what I'm mystified by that. Was there something in Trocheck that they didn't like or they didn't see? Right shot, right wing, little edge to his game, got skill, the whole thing. He's not particularly big, but he plays in the manner of Marchand a little bit where he's still a factor. He's got a little edge to his game, as I said. Pesky. And I thought he would have been good. And he's got term on his kind. He's got another couple of years after this. Like, he would have been a guy here for a while. And he's not, I think he's under $5 million. Like, that would have been a good piece. So that's the one that I second guess. Vinny Trocheck, you had him there. So we're hitting on that. We're getting the heavyweight fight. The Celtics game yesterday and the Celtics going forward. If yesterday, even in defeat, didn't show you that they're right there, I don't know what does. They are right there. I do think it's important that they catch Toronto for that 2 seed, though. I'd hate to think that they're going on the road in the second and third rounds. Unless you're LeBron, that typically doesn't work. So I think they still have some work to do here in the regular season. And that's that. Brady Watch, as always. In fact, Tyron's in Tennessee on the Brady Watch. Go ahead, Tyron.
Yeah, I got to tell you guys, I mean, Vrabel, John Robinson has been awful quiet since the playoffs ended. And I believe, and I'll tell you this, I believe the deal is done for Brady to Tennessee. I believe Tom knows he's coming here. I believe Mike and John Robinson know they got him. They're just keeping it quiet. Obviously, they don't want no tampering and nothing connected back to them that would, you know, make them look like they were tampering so the Patriots could file charges. But I think it's done. My only point here is these fans up here, guys, and I'm with you, they would rather have Tannehill, and I don't get it. There's no way in hell I would take Tannehill over Brady. Brady, you got 1 year, a chance to win a title, and I'm not a Titan fan. I'm a Brady fan, so this team has never won nothing. And you think Tannehill's the answer? And most people think that, but it's a good thing John Robinson them knows better, because I think Brady the Titans is a done deal, guys.
Okay, well, we'll see if you're right. I hope you're right.
Tell you what, though, I wouldn't rule that out. I mean, like, you know, you were saying last week about New Orleans, right? That Breeze in New Orleans came to an agreement quickly. They got him back done. And I'm not telling you Ryan Tannehill's Drew Breeze. But nothing since the end of the season. Nothing. Like, you know, if the organization really wanted him, don't you think they'd come out and say, no, our priority is to sign Ryan Tannehill?
Yeah.
They haven't done that.
Right.
So they think there's something better out there, and they clearly have their eye on it.
Meanwhile, Derek Carr is out taking pictures with Khalil Mack and blah, 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 right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, fueling speculation he could go to Chicago. Then you have this Dallas thing, too, where they're, you know, so today their VP, Stephen Jones, son of Jerry, said the team hasn't met or negotiated with Dak Prescott's agent since September before last season. So how interested are they? Like, that also leads me to believe that.
So Brady's going to play somewhere else the last year, and I wouldn't be shocked if it's Dallas.
I'll tell you, it really is a fascinating quarterback market, though.
This isn't the usual phone that I use. Hello? Yeah, you tell them out there in Indy, we don't want no Dak Prescott. We want Brady. I got eyes on a bigger prize. Hold on there. Yeah, that's how I like it, whore. Oh, sorry. Sorry, no. Forgot I was still on the phone. Let me pour me some Johnny Blue and get back to my horse. Get the deal done with Brady, Steve. Daddy out.
But I am stunned. So that there are Tennessee fans that say, well, what do we do with Tannehill?
Ugh, move on.
Stupid.
And when the Giants, when Zoe came out with his NYG and the Giants rumor came out, there were Giants fans, a lot of Giants fans, who said, we don't want him. We want to keep going forward, Daniel. And you'll bring up Brady to Chicago, and people say, well, they're invested in what's his face there, Trubisky. I said, what?
Oh, God.
What's the matter with you people?
Yeah. I mean, so the Chicago and Tennessee ones, to me,
they're like, caught up in the age. I'm sorry to cut you off, Maz. It's the 42-year-old thing. That's all it is.
I mean, those two teams, absolutely. Brady's the missing piece, potentially, for both of those. The Giants, I half get. I half get because they say, we got huge problems on defense. And so, you know, like, we're going to build something longer term, and it might take a couple of years to get there.
Right.
I half get that one. I do. Half.
Sit him. Sit the kid for a couple of years.
But Tennessee and Chicago? Tennessee was in the AFC Championship game last year. If they had Brady at quarterback, who knows? Maybe they outshoot Kansas City the way the Patriots did the year before.
And there are Titans fans who say, what about Marcus Spears again this morning on ESPN? Jimmy, can you pop that in for me? I think his reaction said it all. It staggers me. These fans that say, well, what do we do with the guy that we have?
If your objective is to win next year's Super Bowl in Tennessee, are you better off with Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady as your quarterback?
Tom Brady, what the hell are we talking about? This is such a no-brainer. Now, if you're talking about succession plan and where Tennessee goes to the future, obviously that's a different conversation. I really enjoy what Ryan Tannehill did this year with the Titans. He played well. He played within a system, and he was actually being the catalyst for this offense for a number of weeks, although Derrick Henry was having this monumental year in the backfield. With that being said, there is no way in two hells I would not take Tom Brady over Ryan Tannehill with a team this close with this amount of talent with the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. Now, if we start talking about winning Super Bowl,
no way in two hells.
I mean, really, you know, the Bears have won Super Bowl. They won it 35 years ago. The Titans have won zero. Like, they're both built to win now. Like, I look at it and say, how could you not want Brady? Like, what are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Tom Brady, what the hell are we talking about?
Hey, Brady, watch the fight on Saturday night. Bruins at the deadline. Did they do enough in your estimation? And the Celtics from yesterday and going forward. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985. I will also have free Bruins tickets for you coming up right after this, so don't leave your radio.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Sports. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What play does Frank come up with now?
Both teams have a timeout remaining. Caldwell Pope will trigger the under out of bounds. Kuzma, Bradley, Davis, and LeBron on the floor. Caldwell Pope.
Boy.
5 second count, running deep as he gets it into LeBron against Jaylen Brown. LeBron pounding him at the mid block, turns, fades off the wrong foot, and hits the monster shot with 30 seconds remaining. A shot you can't stop.
That was a Kobe.
111 to 110. LA has the lead.
Big shot from LeBron there. Again, free tickets coming up for you here in just a few seconds. Murray, you had a problem with the officiating at the end of that game?
Yeah. I mean, look, there was no out of bounds. That was BS. And then the replay that took about, 35 minutes.
Ridiculous.
Whose hand touched it. I mean, it was kind of clear as day. It was Davis's finger that last touched that ball. It should have been Celtics' ball, and it wasn't. And so, fine, you know, you have home court. These things are going to happen. But what did you just look at for what felt like a half effing hour? I was out of my mind. Like, I don't ever really want to be like, they got screwed six ways to Sunday by the refs. But at the end of that game, they got screwed six ways to Sunday by the refs. They did.
I mean, those out-of-bounds plays bug me more than any.
That's so ridiculous.
Those are the ones that bug me more than any. Like, the foul ones, you know, they rarely get overturned. But to me, if you're going up for a rebound and a guy comes in and slams behind you and the ball goes out of bounds, it should be your ball. I mean, and I know it, you know, you may have touched it last, but he propelled the ball out of bounds. Like, so to me, now I know what the rule is. I'm just telling you that in this case, it was both. Right? Now, apparently the 2-minute report has come out and they say that all the calls, no wrong calls and none were overturned.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So everything stayed as
is. Wait, so hold on. The Jaylen Brown was out of bounds?
I just saw it on Twitter. I saw the tweet. I didn't read the story.
Was that outside of 2 minutes, maybe?
Maybe.
What's the account? At NBA Live?
I think it was the Boston.com account. But that aside, honestly, to me, whether they won or lost the game is largely immaterial. I found out what I needed to know yesterday.
Except, I'll just say you would like to have home court against Toronto in that second round.
Okay.
Right, oh,
so
for
that,
sure.
That's why they. So I do. I have this nasty habit of looking at the standings, and in the NBA, it's actually really. In hockey, it really doesn't matter. It doesn't, whether you're home, road, or what. I mean, maybe Game 7 against the Leafs you want at home, but other than that, it just doesn't matter. In the NBA, unless you're LeBron in the East, you want to be home court. And if they're the 3 seed, they got to go on the road the last 2 rounds of the before they get to the finals. So that game does matter to me a little bit for that. But you're right. They proved the point. They're right there with these teams.
I mean, I expected them to lose yesterday is my point. And so the fact that they had a shot at the end, to me, it was a good day for the Celtics.
It's just, though, those replays. You know my issue. Whether it hit his finger or that finger last, if it takes you 10 minutes to find out, then it's not reviewable.
Right.
It's like, it's got to be an obvious blown call that you change in a second, or we're going to let it lie. We're going to let it lie. Okay? So maybe it contacted someone, an atom, on this guy's fingernail last, and we're not going to spend all day trying to find it out. Either it's obvious or it's not, and we're going to move on. But nope. It's just the opposite.
It took forever.
It's just stupid.
It was endless.
Shaking in my seat like a mental patient. Like, come on. Come on.
Seriously, the final 2 minutes of that game took forever.
Awful.
It's what the sport is. It's what it's all become. Give me a break. Brent in Vermont, he joins us next on the Celtics on a re-entry Monday. Go ahead, Brent.
Hey, guys. I couldn't help but notice that Romeo Langford and Brad Wanamaker were getting some pretty important minutes toward the end of the game when guys like Carson Edwards and Javonte Green were sitting on the bench. I don't know what Brad Stevens was thinking, and I'm just kind of frustrated with the way he used the bench down the stretch towards the end of the game.
It's not his fault. He can't play Jason Tatum 48 minutes, man, and he has no one else.
But why are you playing Brad Wanamaker when he looks like he's scared to death beyond the court and you got Carson Edwards sitting on the bench? You don't think Carson Edwards can get a couple threes off? Why are you playing Romeo Langford when he's only got a couple games under his belt, when Javonte Green's sitting on the bench? You don't think he's a better matchup for some of these guys?
I think they all suck.
Their bench blows.
I think they're all the same. 6 of 1, half dozen of the other.
I mean, there isn't one bench guy I really look at among the ones you just rattled off, and I'm not counting Smart. Okay? Smart was a starter yesterday. That I look at and say, that guy pretty much is available to them every night.
And
what I suck to for them every night.
And I don't mean suck, but I mean, like, there's no discernible difference. Maybe one night one guy pops over the other, but at this stage, it's all the same. Throw it up in the air. Throw them in a hat and pick one. It doesn't matter.
They're all ninth men.
The issue is Ainge. or management or whatever, this reluctance to move on from roster pieces at the end of the bench. That's the issue.
I mean, to me, I think you get past Smart and maybe one more, and that's it. They needed a body on that bench. Their bench is thin against good teams.
Bruins tickets coming up here in a second. First, Wayne and Grafton on the fight. Hi, Wayne.
Yeah, I didn't see the fight. I mean, I'm an older guy, 60s and 70s, but I'm going to start watching again if it's going to be like that. I'd rather watch that, the heavyweight stuff, instead of a bunch of 170-pound MMA guys bitch slap each other all night. But that Tyson Fury, I mean, you know, I know he's got some bipolar issues and supposedly and other issues. I would really hate to have him pissed off at me. I could just picture him standing at the foot of my bed naked at night saying, I'm here to settle up, mate. And, you know, Murray, I'm glad to see you've calmed down a little bit since last week. You must have got a piece over the weekend. And speaking of that, peace out.
Okay, Wayne. 6'9", 270?
273 for this fight.
6'9", 270. He's freaking massive.
He is. He's a monster. He's a monster. And you would, you know, again, you look at him. If you just watched him.
6'9".
If you just watched him, like, in the, you know, in the warm-up before the fight.
You see some tomato can.
Yeah. You say, this guy's a clown. He's an oaf. He's a big stiff. That's all he is. He moves okay. He can box. Like, I mean.
No, he's really good.
And he is likable. He is. He's likable.
Did you hear him sing American Pie after the fight?
I missed that.
No. So this guy, like, talk about not leaving a mark. Deontay Wilder. I mean, Deontay Wilder's on Planet Zippy. He actually sounded, I was actually pleasantly surprised that Deontay Wilder sounded like he was still on Planet Earth when they spoke to him after the fight. He was still speaking borderline English. But Tyson Fury sang word for word the first two verses of American Pie. Like, I'm not talking about the chorus. I'm talking about the second verse. Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above if the Bible tells you so? How do you believe? Like, I know he, every word of the first two verses, like, that's how dialed in he was, or like nonpulsed he was by that night.
Oh my gosh, again.
He came out of the ring and sang the first two verses word for word.
They showed him in the, you know, in the locker room before the fight. And, you know, he was goofing around. I'm like, this guy's a clown. He's going to end up on his back tonight. I just felt like he was going to get absolutely clobbered, and the opposite happened. He absolutely annihilated Wilder.
He knew exactly what he was doing.
He did. He picked him apart. I mean, that was a, you know, that was, those two guys, based on that fight, they don't belong in the ring together again.
Well, The Athletic is now reporting, full story coming to The Athletic shortly. Deontay Wilder tells me, this is Lance Pugmire, tells me he's definitely exercising his rematch clause for a summer trilogy against Tyson Fury, that his legs were weakened by his 45-pound costume that he wore to the ring to honor Black History Month.
Oh, for crying out loud. His trainer said this after the fight. I was hoping it didn't come out. I was hoping that they didn't go forward with this. His legs were weak because of the Furcacta outfit?
Yes.
Oh, you freaking clown.
I don't believe it.
Yeah, me right. Neither.
I don't believe it. I think that's a lie. I think he got his ass kicked. You know, he told me something that he got hurt during training and had a pulled hamstring.
I think he got sculled by an overhand right from a 6'9", 270-pound monster. And he got his, I think his equilibrium was all off after he got clubbed in the back of the head by that monster.
I mean, that's probably what happened.
And he was just all gangly legged and out of it after that. He got pounded. He got pummeled is what happened in that fight.
The play-by-play guy was the ESPN guy who does Monday Night Football,
Tessitore,
right?
Yep.
I actually don't mind him in a fight.
He was fine.
Yeah. In a fight, in football, I can't stand him. But in a fight, I actually thought he kind of fit the, he sort of fit the event. And he said it during the fight that, you know, he wondered if he, you know, ruptured an eardrum. And to me, that's what it looked like. He looked like he was, you know, can I say half-cocked out there? Can I say that? Is that allowed?
What's wrong with half-cocked?
Well, I don't know. I'm just making sure.
Right. Yeah, that's.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just making sure.
You just turned a totally clean word into a not clean word.
I probably did.
Yeah, he definitely did.
I mean, Maz, half-cocked. Ay, ay, ay.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.